Barry, hopefully everything is going well for you. How are you doing today?
Doing well. This is the time of year and the type of month to remind everybody that if you've got a dog or a child or even a person in your vehicle, if you're going to stop somewhere, leave the air conditioner on and leave the motor running.
Yes, absolutely. It is. Well, I'm actually trying to survive in advance here in the studio, but believe it or not, it's a little toasty in here too, but most definitely with how hot it's been. Definitely take Barry's advice in that. So I was just talking about this. I'll start with this, Barry. Mac Jones, according to some, is reminding the Patriots of Tom Brady. Now, I think it's unfair to both Tom and Mac Jones to put these guys in the same sentence. And I just ran through the schedule that New England's got. Outside of their division, they've got Indianapolis, Cleveland on the road, Green Bay on the road, Pittsburgh on the road, Cincinnati at home, Arizona and Las Vegas on the road, Minnesota on the road. I mean, by no stretch of the imagination is this schedule easy. Do you think that that's a fair comparison at all to say that Mac Jones is reminding some people of Tom Brady? I don't, even though he's had a good spring, he had 22 touchdowns last year and 13 interceptions and didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah, well, I don't think it necessarily came from Mac Jones. It came from Scott Zolak.
Well, right,
yes. Sports Hub. And so he was saying that he had a great spring, and it looks like he's going to be pretty good with this kid going forward. And it means that the Patriots trust him, and they like what they see. And he may not be that advanced, but I think in the beginning, Tom Brady wasn't that advanced. When Tom Brady came to the team, he was number four on the depth chart, and he finally got to where he became number two, and then went all-star Drew Bledsoe went down with an injury. Brady was inserted, but he wasn't great to start off with. It took game film and game time and snaps for him to get his confidence and learn the nuances of the pro game. But I think that's just what people are saying, is that maybe initially a young Mac Jones looks a lot like a young Tom Brady, and good for Bill Belichick.
If it pans out, great. If not, then I'm just saying it's not that they're saying he is going to be the next Tom Brady, but if they go out this year and they go 7-10 and Mac Jones is okay again, then I don't know, because people label LeBron James with these same expectations in regards to Michael Jordan, and it actually panned out okay. But I just think at times it's a little risky to really put, I don't even know if it's a level of expectation or not on the player, but just being in the same sense, like, hey, he's reminding me a lot of Tom Brady. It's like, sure, I guess so. But let's, I don't know. And maybe that's just me, but I don't know if Baker Mayfield has reminded anybody at all of anybody in the NFL. When Baker was coming out of college,
true.
Is there anybody that, because I know, obviously, Baker going number one. Was there anybody that Baker reminded you of, or was there any, obviously, there's always comparisons, but is there anything that Baker reminded people of coming out of college?
Yeah, I think so. And getting back to the Mac Jones, Patriot fans are just going to have to be patient. And he'll either progress every season, and that's just the way it is. As far as Baker Mayfield, I think Jim McMahon a little bit as far as his attitude. Now, not as far as his playing style. Jim McMahon was more of a pocket passer, and so is Baker Mayfield. But Mayfield will run a little bit more. But Jim McMahon just right off had this attitude, and Baker Mayfield had this attitude. And I think Baker's was more of like, I came from nowhere. I'm a short guy. I'm not 6'4", 6'5", like the prototypical quarterback is. And I'm going to show everybody everything. But he had that kind of chip on his shoulder attitude from day one.
Is that something that you think has helped Baker over the course of his career in the NFL? Or do you think that attitude has hindered his ability maybe to, I don't want to say be the most, I guess the best way to phrase it is be the most likable guy in the locker room or what have you.
Yeah, I think it all has to do with skill and production. That is what everybody's going to gauge you on, and that's no different than anybody else. That's no different than your job, my job. It's productivity, and what have you done and what have you accomplished? It doesn't matter who you remind you of anybody. I mean, recently, Johnny Manziel and Terrell Owens were both playing in the Fan Football League out of Atlanta and scoring touchdowns and throwing touchdowns because they were playing against, you know, people that may or may not have played college, and they're looking like all-world players, which they're former NFL players. So it's all in productivity, and if you've got productivity, then people will put up with you. Dan Marino coming out of college, he was taking the number 6 quarterback in 1983. They said that he wouldn't be able to take hits. They said he wasn't going to be able to throw the short game, and took his team to the Super Bowl, and of course now he's in the Hall of Fame. So you never know.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. In regards to this whole situation with Baker, so there was a report that came out that it was by Josina Anderson, that the Seahawks still have a high level of interest in Baker. If there is a, I don't know if it necessarily matters for the Browns as to where he goes, whether it be Carolina or Seattle, is probably just the best offer. But if you're Baker Mayfield, is there a specific spot that you think Baker would like to go more, or is he just hell-bent on getting out of Cleveland to wherever it may be, as long as he has a chance to maybe start?
Yeah, that's a tough road right there. I don't think the Browns are wanting to move him right now. I think they're in a wait and see move. Now, Baker has told the Browns, "I'm not playing anymore." However, he's supposed to make $18.838 million. That's guaranteed, but it's guaranteed as long as he's playing and practicing. If he's sitting at home, he's not going to make anything. So let's just say that Deshaun Watson gets a full year suspension. They've got Baker Mayfield on the roster. They've got Jacoby Brissett on the roster. I just did an article of, is it time to have the conversation that Jacoby Brissett is going to be the Browns starting quarterback? Because that's a real possibility. If Baker just says, "Hey, I'm not playing, I'm just going to sit home and not make money," then the Browns have no choice but to start somebody else, and they have Josh Dobbs on the roster, and they have Jacoby Brissett on the roster. But I think they really expect that's going to be Baker Mayfield, that if Deshaun gets a lengthy suspension, that he's going to be the starting quarterback going through the year. That I think that's why they haven't moved him. Because why take a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick and a bag of footballs and you end up with Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback when you could have Baker Mayfield, who has proved that he can be an NFL starting quarterback, although his production, his playing style isn't top 10, top 15, maybe not even top 25, but he's still a starting NFL-caliber quarterback.
Yeah, most definitely. So while there's the rumors with Baker, Gronk announced that he's going to be done. At least it seems that way. Are you a believer that Gronk is actually going to hang up the cleats, or do you think there's the slightest chance, which seems to be the most popular opinion among a lot of people, that Gronk's just going to wait until the middle of the season and see what options potentially come available, whether it be with Tom Brady or somewhere else?
Yeah, there's no telling. It looks like he's done. I would have thought that he knows that Tom Brady is probably going to play 1 year and that would be the end of it. I would have thought that he would do the same thing and then hang up his cleats and hang them on the same towel rack as Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It surprised me that it came like this. I know people are talking about Gronk being the greatest tight end that ever was. I would put him in top 5 myself. I think Tony Gonzalez is the greatest. I think Antonio Gates might be number 2. They both have more yards, more touchdowns, more average yards per catch. But Gronk is definitely a top 5. And we're talking about in a time when the quarterbacks throw to tight ends. Back in the day, back in the 50s, 60s, and the early 70s, tight end was basically just a blocking guy, and you threw to him once in a while, like Mike Ditka. None of those guys had any yards, and none of them led the league. None of them were in the top 100 in receiving yards because they weren't big enough to be offensive linemen, but they could catch passes when you needed them to. So that's what a tight end was for. But now you've got guys that are basically just huge wide receivers playing the tight end position.
Yeah, and most recently, I mean, Travis Kelce's a guy that's probably going to go down as one of the best at some point. I mean, you got so many other ones like Darren Waller. You talk about guys that are built like wide receivers who just run so quick. I mean, he's definitely one of them as well. If you were to pick three teams, Barry, that are under the most pressure this year, who would those three teams be? And now this could be just from the standpoint of things that have gone on in the offseason, expectations for winning a championship, a quarterback who's got to step up, or a coach who's on the ropes. If there's three teams that you think, well, there's more teams, every team's under pressure, but if you were to pick three, who would they be?
I think my first one would have to be the Saints. Now that they don't have a quarterback and now that they don't have their coach, they have just kind of floundered. They've just kind of gone nowhere. I think if something doesn't happen, then something doesn't happen now, because that division there is there for the taking. Yes, Tampa Bay has dominated that for the last 2 years, ever since Tom Brady got there. Mm. Of course, Tampa Bay's got a really good roster around Tom Brady. But if the Saints don't do something, and if they don't bring in the right, if they don't do something about their offensive line, and they can't cover a pass, they've tried to solve all that. But if they don't, I think that they're in big problems. Another team that I think is going to have a season that needs to be dealt with is the Arizona Cardinals. They started at 11-0 last year.
Yeah.
Then just kind of fizzled out. That is a very competitive division with the Rams and the 49ers. I don't think the Seahawks are going to do well this year. If they win 8 games, that would shock me. But the rest of that division is just it's just really competitive and excellent. So the Cardinals, their anticipation and their what they're expecting is another run at the division titles. And when they came down the stretch, they just kind of floundered a little bit. And the other team, I think, is going to have issues. Is I'm straddling the fence between the Baltimore Ravens or the Dallas Cowboys. I think both of them have had high expectations of division crowns, which the Cowboys did. But, you know, the Cowboys, every year they're talked about going to the Super Bowl, and every year something happens that they either end up being 8-8, or they just don't end up in the playoffs at all, or they have something like last year where they have, you know, knucklehead moments. But the Ravens themselves, I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl last year. I thought that their offensive line was great. They got good running backs. Of course, they got an all-world quarterback. The defense is always sterling. But for them to fall and fall to last in the division, that's just a big shocker. So they already fired their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, who ended up with the Giants. But I think the Ravens are in big trouble this year, because if you look at that roster from top to bottom, that division, the AFC North, is going to go through Cincinnati for years. The offense is going to turn a corner on the offensive line. They got good tight end. They've got a good front seven on their defense, and they tried to fix the defensive backfield this year, and we'll see. But that division has gone through Baltimore for so long. The Browns will be improved. I don't think that they'll win the division. And then who knows with Pittsburgh?
I went through 5 teams, and we had 3. I had the Cowboys, I had the Cardinals in there. I also had the Cleveland Browns in there, for the sake of they've got the roster to win now, and if they've got Deshaun Watson playing, then I think there's a good amount of pressure just from the money side of things, of how they spent money. As well, giving him that fully guaranteed contract, this is that window now where they've paid Deshaun Watson, and if he is going to play, or say he gets suspended this year, and then after that he's playing, however long he's there, they are in win now mode, and they ought to at least get to a Super Bowl, if not win one, just because of the money they spent and the expectations. The other team, I think, is the Chargers, because, and I don't know if you would agree with this, Barry, but everybody acts like Justin Herbert is like the best quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't even been to the playoffs once, and it's not necessarily his fault. You know, his coach last year, you know, Brandon Staley can't decide on when not to go for it on fourth down, but they don't make the playoffs last year or the year before that. And I think that there's just some pressure there that they've got Keenan Allen, they've got Austin Eckler at running back, they've got Mike Williams still there, they've got a really good defense, they brought in Khalil Mack, and they have Justin Herbert, that they need to make the playoffs at least. But that being said, they're in the toughest division in the league because you got the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Chiefs, who have all upgraded, or the Chiefs have still kind of stayed the same. They lose Tyreek Hill, but they've found a way to still have Patrick Mahomes, who's arguably, if not arguably, the number one quarterback in the game.
Yeah, and that's, you're exactly right. That's a tough division. I think the Chargers are going to be in a patient mode. They know that they're in a tough division.
Okay.
They're a young team. They got a young offensive line. Their defensive line has improved. I think those people are going to be a lot more patient than you imagine. But yeah, getting to the playoffs, that's the first step. They don't have to win the division, but you have to get into the playoffs and experience what playoff football is. And if you take like last year with the Bengals, the Bengals had never been in the playoffs, but they showed that it doesn't matter how you start your season. With the Bengals, started horrible. It's how you finish your season, and that's to be red hot. And then once you're red hot, you can dominate and beat the better teams, the better seeds, the number one, the number two seeds, and go on. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but in this last week, three NFL players have died, and one of them was Tony Siragusa,
yep,
who they called the Goose. He was only 55. He played for the Ravens. Great guy. I've met him at the Senior Bowl before. Absolutely great guy. Another excellent player that people just probably would never, you would say, who is Hugh McElhaney. He played mainly for the 49ers in the 60s. He played for the Giants a little bit. But he was an absolute stud. He was listed as a fullback, but he was a running back like Jim Brown, Marion Motley, Christian Okoye. All those were listed as fullbacks, but they were actually, you know, good running backs. But he was 93 when he died, but he's a Hall of Famer. In fact, I think it's 1963 or 64, all four people in the backfield, the quarterback, both running backs, and the fullback, all of them have been put into the Hall of Fame, and Hugh McElhaney was one of them.
Mm. Yeah, I unfortunate for the recent deaths that we've seen. Of course, with Tony Siragusa, with me, obviously, I'm young enough to only remember him as a broadcaster, but from all accounts, from what you've said and from what others I've heard and read, he's a top-notch individual and a top-notch class act person, and obviously was a very good player as well. I want to hit this too real quick, Barry. We're getting to the point where the USFL is at the tail end of the season. We've seen some of the awards given out. Who is your pick, I guess, if you have one, to win the USFL championship?
Well, there are two games Saturday. One is, I think, 2 or 3 o'clock our time. The other one's at night, I think 7 o'clock, and both of them be good. They've only got 8 teams. And what's weird about the USFL is 3 weeks ago, they already announced playoff seedings. That's because the top two in each division were clear winners, and the bottom four were complete. You know, you could tell that they were not going to catch anybody. But the first game is at 2 o'clock on Central. It's got New Jersey, who's 9-1, against Philadelphia. Obviously, Philadelphia is just has a great defense. If you look at all USFL teams, they just dominate. The other game is the Nolens Breakers, who are 6-4, against the Birmingham Stallions. That's going to be a phenomenal game. They played down to the wire each game that they played during the season. And, of course, Birmingham, they had decent attendance because it was located in Birmingham. It was better attendance than I thought. All the other games had poor attendance. But anytime Birmingham played, so it would really help the league if somebody like Birmingham was to win it and get this league on track. And then the championship game is going to be on July the 3rd in the evening, which is on a Sunday. One other thing, talking about other football leagues, today there is another football league starting in August called Major League Football, and they're going to start with four teams. They had announced one to be Virginia Beach, one to be Canton, Ohio, and one to be Little Rock, Arkansas. Today, they announced their fourth team was going to be placed in Mobile and played at Lad People Stadium. They're going to be called the Alabama Airborne. And the way all the teams are league-owned, and they will it'll be a developmental league. Next year, they want to expand to 6 or 10 or 8 or 10 teams. And all the training camp is going to be in Mobile, and that was announced today.
Okay, well, yeah, that's something that we definitely can look forward to. I like the fact that it's smaller market teams, like you said, Little Rock and Virginia Beach and Canton, and then, of course, Mobile as well that you just mentioned. Barry, do you have an idiom for us today?
I do. I'm going to tell you where shotgun came from.
Awesome.
And next week, if I can remember it, I'll tell you where pistol came from, because before pistol, there was the shotgun. And what we know about shotgun is instead of taking the snap under center, the quarterback stands 7 yards in the backfield to field the ball off the snap. We all know that. But the shotgun, which its official name is shotgun formation, was coined by a head coach of the San Francisco 49ers named Red Hickey in 1960. And the name came because the formation, he said that the formation sprays receivers around the field. Now, the 49ers had always had a problem with the Baltimore Colts pass rush, and Hickey was looking for a way to find to combat the quicker offensive linemen defensive linemen that his offensive linemen couldn't keep out. So he reasoned that having a quarterback stand 7 yards back from the line of scrimmage would give the signal caller better vision and more time to throw.
Spectacular. You know what? I'm not going to spoil anything to do with the pistol, but I wrote it down. So next week, if need be, if you forget for whatever reason, I might bring it up in the in our conversation next week. Well, Barry, you have a great rest of your week and weekend, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Talk to you later.